This is Steve from the Word 66, and you are listening to the dynamic duo of Christian rock and roll.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wild Man and Steve Show starts right now.
When we left the dynamic duo last week, Wild Man had just asked this question of Bob Hartman, and this was his answer.
So, Bob, you've been asked this question several times in several different ways over the years, but I just want to ask it again. When Petra first began, way back in 72, if I have that correct, in 72, what did you envision was going to take place compared with what has taken place?
Yeah, I was very short-sighted. I just didn't think very much about the future, and not anywhere near 50 years. We were thinking, it would be great if there was a Christian band that played music that we liked and we grew up with, and we could reach people who only like that kind of music. And that was really our total mission statement in the beginning. Mm. So we went out and played any place we could. Sometimes we'd play in an open park, just draw a crowd, and then play some music and begin to share our faith with them. So that was the kind of the extent of our ideals in the beginning. And then, we did an album and that got out, and a lot of Christians found that album. And we realized that we had a real voice to Christians as well as to non-believers, which, evangelism was our primary goal. But then we realized, hey, Christians need this kind of music too that they like. And So we started playing in a lot of Christian colleges that were brave enough to have us at the time, and some other places, and gained a following, and one thing led to another. And you turn around and look back sometimes and it's like, wow, look at what the Lord has done. It's just incredible.
Yeah. John, from the time you joined Petra, same question.
Yeah, I tell you what, when Bob gave me the chance to be part of Petra, to me it was a miracle from God, and God had a plan. And so when I joined Petra, I just said, thank you, Lord, for the second chance. And I've always looked at Petra as a major, major tool to spread the gospel to saved and unsaved. And to be able to do that, did I think was going to last this long? Absolutely. I think it's going to last longer because it's a tool of God. And he's given each one of us the skill to use. Me, voice, Bob, an amazing guitar player and writer, producer, just all that. But at least I have a voice. And as long as I still have that voice, it's what I'm supposed to do. There's no such thing as retirement in the Word. So, but I got a blessing. I got to join the band when it was the biggest Christian rock band in the world. So Bob spent all those years building it up to that. I joined in and at one of the peaks and said, okay, let's take up the next one. And I never thought about quitting. In fact, when we finally retired, it was a disappointment. And understood, but a disappointment. We had it so good for so long that I wanted it to go on forever, And in a roundabout way, I guess it has, because we're still playing.
Yes. Yeah, that's great. We've seen you on the doing the dates on the 50th anniversary tour has been great to see. Yeah. And that's always been the one of the jokes amongst some other Petra fans and myself is the idea that Petra is kind of like the Michael Jordan or the Tom Brady or whatever. You know, they retire, but then they're still doing a concert. They're retired, I thought, but they're still doing a concert. So that's been great for me to experience myself. So, Greg, talk to us about your first experience or memory of Petra and what that was like when you did this project.
My first memory of Petra is probably, I guess, in 12, 13. I was at a teen camp in Carlinville, Illinois. My dad was Assemblies of God pastor. We went to some district council camp in Carlinville, Illinois, and I heard somebody playing the More Power to You cassette, having no idea what I was listening to. But when I heard that song, Judas Kiss, I just stopped and turned around and walked back, this very, you know, insecure kid, not knowing who's playing this and what it is. I went back and, you know, begged them to tell me, you know, what it was. And there was just a whole group of them. And I found out and went home and try to figure out who this band was. And, you know, we didn't have iPhones back then or internet. So had to go to the local Christian bookstore and, you know, track down, had them order it for me. And I brought it home and my mom immediately confiscated it and said, nope, I have to listen to it first before you can listen to it. And I sat there at the dining room table watching her listening to this thing on a little Sony Walkman or whatever I was listening to at the time. That was my first experience of Petra. I was hooked. I mean, absolutely hooked.
Was mom hooked? Did she like it?
She gave the thumbs up approval. I probably wouldn't go so far as to say mom liked it. that might be pushing it a little bit, but...
Hey, everybody. Wild Man here.
And this is Steve.
And you're listening to Classic Christian Rock Steve, we were supposed to say it together.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, buddy.
Okay, let's try again. Hey, everybody. Wild Man here.
And this is Steve.
And you're listening to Classic Christian Rock. Steve, what is the problem?
I just don't like how you're doing this.
How I'm doing what?
Hello, everyone. Wild Man here. It's like, hey, this is my show, and Steve is just my sidekick.
Really? You're going to go there now? After all we've been through? The amazing artists we've interviewed, over 140 podcast episodes, 20,000 downloads? Really? After 3 years of Mr. Segway? Really? You're going to go there now?
Okay, I guess you're right.
Okay, let's try this again. Hey, everyone.
Steve here, and you're listening to Classic Christian Rock Radio.
Wow. Just wow.
All these years later, to find myself on the other side in the business side, you know, again, just quite an honor. Couldn't be working with greater gentlemen.
I wonder.
I want to circle back now to the packaging, and since we got Greg talking here, I want to keep you going on this. Greg, you do such a phenomenal job with the reissues and the remasters, and it's just unbelievable. I think you do great stuff with the sound. I know I did a review, even did a little video review of some stuff you did with Blood Good, and the sound was so good. But then, good grief, man, the visuals. And I don't know how many times we can talk about it on this show that rock and roll is such a visual medium as well as the audio. And I was saying to Wildman before everybody came on the show, brother, I could just eat that cover up with a spoon. If you don't know what I'm talking about, people are listening, seriously, pause, or if you can do both at the same time, go over to girdermusic.com. It's right on the front page right now. But that rich royal purple on the black background and that gold with the logo, it's just, I could sit there and just stare at that thing. So talk to us a little bit about the packaging and some of the cool stuff. Of course, you mentioned some trading cards in there. We talked about a little bit about liner notes and so forth. What all went into some of the cool packaging that we're seeing?
You know, the logo was created, and I obviously want to give credit to the gentleman that created it. And Bob, you're going to have to remind me of his name, the guy that actually created the...
John Leslie, sorry.
Jonathan Leslie. He's the one that actually created the initial logo, and we had seen it, and, you know, he did a stellar job. He had created a version of the logo that was silver and some red. And as we began to look at it and we began to think of the anniversary, 50 years... is a golden anniversary, right?
Right.
And purple represents royalty.
Yep.
And so to me, it was just a no-brainer that, you know, asking John, you know, if we could modify the marbling effect, make it look more gold, you know, add some purple to it for royalty on the banner, just because it fit the 50 years. And, you know, we wanted something that popped. You know, I'm kind of white space is your friend is kind of my world that I live in when it comes to design. I don't feel like you have to fill up every single corner and every single angle with something, you know, just give it something, you know, in my eyes, and art is just, you know, it's an interpretation of what you think, and everybody has opinions about, you know, a particular piece of art, but I just wanted it to be really clear and to really celebrate the 50 anniversary. And that's why we just simply called it 50. Just 50, just spelled out 50. We just thought that there's, we don't need to say anything else. Like, the music speaks for itself. The band speaks for itself. Their legacy speaks for itself. The history of where these guys came from, to be able to pull something off for 50 years, to be able to be blessed like that, is, there's not a lot you can add to a career like that. The only thing that you can do is try to represent it. You know, my big joke sometimes is we have a 600 by 600 pixel chance of selling something on our website, right? A little graphic, right? You know, on the website. And if people read, great. But otherwise, that graphic's got to grab people. So that's what we hope to pull.
I got to tell you, while we were doing this interview, right, I've got the website up. I've got Girder Music up. And I keep finding myself, while we're on this interview, I'm clicking over on the website because I just want to look at it. and just having the word 50 on there again, that is so utterly cool to me. It is so rock and roll.
That's kind. I appreciate you saying that.
Oh, truly. And not just blowing sunshine in your face on that. I think it is just marvelous. And then you talked about the vinyl. I can't remember if it was Wildman or somebody was talking about the vinyl a little bit earlier. And at the point of this recording, the vinyl is pre-order. And it's coming out in July. Of course, this episode will be out before that. And when you look at that, just, I'm sorry, those just the gorgeous black vinyl. I mean, there's this, and of course, most vinyl is black. I mean, especially color code.
I think Steve may need to take a moment here, you know, just pause.
Gosh, but here's the thing. And this is why everybody got so nervous with cassettes and 8-tracks and CDs are like, oh, all that great album art's going to be so small. And we all love the album art.
So, can I share something about the art and why we do what we do and what was so important to me? I've shared this with a lot of people. There's a lot of people that ask about, you know, history of design, why you do what you do. When I was in high school and I was listening to Petra and other Christian rock bands, my friends that were not believers, that were not Christian, would often, this wasn't true with Petra, but it was true with other bands I was listening to that don't have a 50 year legacy, maybe a couple albums, but they just didn't think it's not as good as Van Halen. It's not as good as AC/DC. It's not as good as Iron Maiden. It's not as good as Black Sabbath. The guitarist isn't as good as Yngwie Malmsteen or Eddie Van Halen, and there was all these comparisons. And then I remember seeing somebody with a Kiss package, and I opened up the vinyl that they had, and there were stickers inside, and there was a poster inside, and just all the graphics looked really cool. And I remember kind of being chided and made fun of a little bit by my Christian music, the physical product. Not, they hadn't heard the music, but just the appearance of some of the product just didn't kind of measure up to what their opinion was. And for whatever reason, that's just stuck with me for so many years. And so I'm just like, you know what? If I'm going to do it and put my name on it, it's more to those guys to say, yeah, it can be done at a high level. It can be done and be celebrated and everybody proud. Let me tell you something. To have 40 and 50 and 60 year old dudes gushing over this product like you are, it's like that's what we were looking for.
And for anybody out there who's never worked with Gerger Music at all, it's amazing professionalism. You get the product. The shipping is always on target. You just turn around.
Am I going to have to pay you guys later for this, or what's going on?
No. I thought we already had an agreement for that, Greg. I thought we already had an understanding there. We'll talk about that when we talk about that Messiah Prophet concert that you and I went to. Sorry. Inside joke, folks. Sorry, I had to go there. He knew I would go there. So 50 years, it has to be story time. And I'm just going to let Bob and John, and Greg can even chime in as well, but especially for Petra, I want both of you to share a story about Petra, whether it was in the studio, whether it was on the tour bus, whether it was on the stage, whatever. Something that shows the common fan out there another side that maybe they didn't see. And if you shared it before, that's fine. It would be ideal if you didn't share it before. So right here on our show is the first time ever. But either way, I'm sure both of you can come up with a story, each of you, that you would like to share.
John, Bob, before you say anything, can you please share the guitar story of John handling Bob's guitar?
Oh. Which one of us is going to tell that story?
Now, first of all, is this the first time? Is this first time to check out public?
This would be the first time.
Ladies and gentlemen, first time on the Wild Man and Steve Show, the John and Bob guitar story.
Okay, I'll tell it because
Bob might get up and leave.
hey, watch it. Okay, then Bob can tell it. It won't take 3 days. Okay.
No, just because of the way the story goes, Bob.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Bob is a really sweetheart of a guy. And we had just started. I don't think we'd even toured yet. I don't think we've just when we started meeting each other and we started working together, and we were in his studio and he had this brand new guitar. He was real. Of course, like every month he has a brand new guitar, but this was a special brand new guitar for that month. And he was showing it to me. And I said, "Oh, that's so cool, man!" And I said, "Can I handle it?" "Oh yeah, no problem." I pick it up, and the first thing I do is mess, and I broke the switch off of it. I don't think Bob had even played it yet, and I mean, I'm the new guy. He's my boss. You know, I'm going, "Oh boy." I think I broke your switch, Bob. And Bob, being the sweetheart Christian that he is, I think his eyes were watering. He was turning red, but he's going, "Oh, well, yeah, I think you did." And I gave the guitar back. I'm so sorry, Bob. I'm so sorry. And it's like, "Oh, it's okay. It's..." If he could have fired me and got another guy quick, I think he would have. It was disgusting. I don't know. I did, but I did. And Greg, thank you for reminding me of that.
Of course.
I've never told that story ever before.
Now, Bob, is that your version of the story?
Actually, I was thinking about another guitar story.
Here we go with
John. I'm thinking about the time I was building a guitar and I brought the body over to John because John is an expert woodworker. And I wanted John to, I don't know, do something kind of simple. And oops, it was like, "Okay, thanks, John. See ya."
Hey, he wants precision. And I build drawer. I build cabinets. I don't work on little intricate guitar things. And apparently I was a little more bold than I should have been. And I blew it totally. Thank you, Bob. Thank you for reminding me about that one too.
Yeah. So the lesson here is keep John away from all guitars.
Including don't let him play any live either. We learned that lesson too. Okay, I can tell you another guitar story. Okay, mentioning that, we had, I think it was, I don't know which tour it was, but one, I played guitar, and which was a big mistake, but the crew loved it because what they would do is they'd all get around the monitor board and they would pick out my part and single it, solo it. And all the crew would stand around listening to me play guitar and have a great big laugh about it every night. And I got to a point where it wasn't like I was stupid and I didn't know what they were doing. And I tried my best to sing and play guitar at the same time. And I'd look over those guys and they're just laughing their heads off. It wasn't a real encouraging time for me. And so I basically told Bob, "Thank you, buddy, for letting me try to play guitar, but I think I'm just going to sing." And Bob, by that time, goes, "I think that's a good idea."
Tree.
right, Bob. So all guitarists are wondering, with all the guitars you've had, you may not even remember, but I'm going to put it, do you remember what guitar that was that he broke the switch on?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. What was it?
It was a Kramer guitar I had just gotten with a Floyd Rose tremolo.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was at the very beginning when, you know, Floyd Rose tremolos were just coming to be. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, cool. It was a red Kramer with a Floyd Rose. And thanks, John.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if I'm going to break one, I'm going to break a fancy one. Come on.
Well, I just wanted him to describe it just to make you feel worse. You know, the more he can describe it.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, and see the tears are starting to, again, he's starting to cry about it. Come on.
Okay, I know you don't want me to break in here, and I know you want to hear the rest of the interview. I'm sorry. You're just going to have to come back next week.
Next week, the dynamic duo returns.
Same Wild Man and Steve time, same Wild Man and Steve channel.
The Wild Man and Steve Show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com.
Sounds like rock and roll to me.